You're listening to the Love is Black podcast.
We're the host of Fly.
The love is dope.
And the conversation's always 100.
Welcome to your favorite podcast. I'm doing it. This is the Love is Black podcast. I'm Harvey.
He's so aggressive. And I'm Carice.
I'm not aggressive. I'm just to the point. We're just introducing it. Just saying it, hey,
you're the favorite. Why does it have to be a thing? I'm doing it.
Because I saw the look. You're like, oh, I'm supposed to do it, and you do it. So I'm like, no, I'm doing it. How about that?
Oh my God. Black people.
Black people, whatever.
Yes.
How y'all doing?
What we're here to talk about.
About black people?
Yeah. In love. Yeah.
Black people
in
love. Yes. That was nice. You weaved that in there. Well done. Well done. Yes. That was smooth.
See?
Very smooth.
I am smooth.
Very smooth. I tell you smooth all the time, but you don't believe me.
When did you ever tell me I was smooth?
See, you don't even listen. You know how many times I've said you were smooth? You don't even hear me, baby.
Okay.
But if I said you was unsmooth, you'd be like,
I would have known. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
See, I probably would have told you the day and the time.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
It's at 1:22 p.m. on, you know, Thursday, June 26th.
And then like some Real Housewives or something on, you wouldn't have been talking to me. You'd have been watching some foolishness anyway. So you wouldn't have heard me. That's why you didn't hear me.
Yeah.
Somebody fought somebody because their husband said
something.
Listen,
don't hate on the housewives. They are phenomenal at doing what they do, which is entertaining the masses with the foolishness. That's okay. All we need. Yeah. Entertainment.
Foolishness. Okay.
I love it.
Well, we're lucky this week because we have somebody who we find quite entertaining on the podcast.
And who many people do because she is quite the following.
She on fire!
So... now you're all warmed up, ready for Kimmy. Let me tell you a little bit more about our guest today. Okay, so today we are so happy to be welcoming Kimmy Reed to the podcast, affectionately known as the relationship motivator. Mm-hmm. She's on a mission to help people see the self-destructive patterns they are creating in their love life so that they can attract the ideal partner and keep them. Kimmy is the author of 3 books: Get Your Woman, Keep Your Man, Marriage is Easy, People Are Hard, and The Kaleidoscope of Kimmetry.
I like
divorced,
that.
Divorced 3 times, married once. Mm. Well, I guess we'll have to dive in to find out how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be her 4th book, is digging deep into what led to 3 failed marriages and her current 22-year relationship with her husband of 19 years. Mm-hmm. He even may make a surprise appearance.
Mm, let's see if we can get him in to come in.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So Kimmy decided to take her love for relationship motivation to TikTok in February this year, where her main focus has been on the hearts of men, showing men that their feelings, needs, and desires matter, and giving them a safe place to be vulnerable. Yes, Kimmy's love for sharing body and skincare tips with women has also played a huge role in her growing following due to her Beauty Shouldn't Be a Secret series. She believes that there is enough health, wellness, and beauty for everyone. She's talking about us now, it's the women. Now it's the women. She single-handedly emailed thousands of women and hundreds of men do-it-yourself recipes for hair and skin and a list of supplements that have helped them maintain health and wellness. She's not shy about putting her age out there either. At 56, and she doesn't look not one day over like 25.
No way.
At 56, she understands that every year is a blessing. So it's crazy to stress about age when she should be enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Love it. Kimmy's following quickly grew to nearly 300,000 in 7.5 months due to several viral TikToks, which have been shared all over Instagram and Facebook as well. Kimmy's often joined by her husband, James, in her relationship motivation group sessions, various speaking engagements, and podcasts. She calls James her secret weapon, mm-hmm. and I think you may find out why. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever seen them together, you'll know why. I hope that you are not just listening to this episode, but will also venture over to YouTube so that you can watch this episode, because this is a fantastic episode and we are so super honored to be welcoming Miss Kimmy Reed to the Love Is Black podcast.
It's fun. Hey, Kimmy, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
So much going on. We just want to hear all about you. So tell us about you.
Well, I'm Kimmy Reed, and I'm a mom of four. Husband he's been around here about 22 years, been married for 19. I'm what I call myself the relationship motivator. So I spend a lot of time on social media promoting relationships, whether it be mother-daughter, sister-sister, brother-brother, but most of all, couples, husbands, wives, people who are just dating, just anybody who wants to, just enhance their relationship as a whole, and a bit of life coaching as well. But that's pretty much my life in a nutshell. Other than controlling my family, that's me. That's it.
Sounds good. Sounds fun. Sounds fun.
It's fun.
Where did you come up with the name Relationship Motivator? Is there like a secondary meaning to it?
Well, it all started with my father. The father that raised me, he's gone now, back in 2010, but he said, as I was growing up, he says, you're always motivating people. He said, any relationship I've ever seen you involved in, you're always either the peacemaker or the one that's going to say, you need to leave that relationship alone and get yourself together. And he said, you're just a relationship motivator. And I have carried it for years, but never would say anything about it until in 2010, right before he passed away, he asked me, what did my poetry mean to me? And I'm like, what? He's like, what did your poetry mean to you? And I was like, well, I don't know. He's like, well, you need to publish a book. And when you figure out what it means to you, you just call me back. I started to call him back, waited a couple of days, and he passed away. And I just vowed from that day forth that I was gonna publish my first book. It was gonna take it, I was gonna take that year to do it. And then when I came up with the title, The Kaleidoscope of Chemistry, because it was all my poetry in one, I just said, you know what? I'm gonna subtitle The Relationship Motivator. And I've just been doing it ever since. And that's what people started to call me. So I'm like, okay, I'll be that.
Okay, that sounds good. That's
pretty much it.
I like it. I don't know, discover seems like the wrong word, but I found you as I was, kind of floating around TikTok, and immediately just hearing you talk, I'm like, I like her.
Yes.
Like she sounds like an ally. She sounds like somebody on our side. I'm like, I like her. So I did, you find somebody you like, and I just went through and I just watched all your stuff. And I'm like, that's true. That's true too. Wow. I'm like, wow. Like she in my head, I was completely just entrenched and just felt everything that you said. So I'm so glad that we're actually getting to talk to you. I honestly didn't expect you to respond. So I'm thoroughly excited about this.
Oh, great. I'm so glad. Oh, that makes me feel so happy. I guess by now I'm pretty goofy sometimes.
Just one of the many reasons. I believe over 500,000 people are loving you on TikTok.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That means you're doing something right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So let me ask you, what is it about you that attracts all these people on TikTok?
I think because I've been pretty transparent in my relationships as a whole, because I've noticed that, how there are a lot of women who are on and I think they should be. They talk about, what women should do in relationships and how they should stand up for themselves. And I was all about that because that was me on Instagram. And because I was in those three relationships, I just wanted to empower women and, give some of the lessons that I've learned and be very transparent and not saying, he did this, he did that, he did la, 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 and just give him a bad name, because I had to realize that, yes, he did these things. And it doesn't excuse these things that he did. But what was my role? How could I have either changed some of those things that happened, or how could I have reacted differently and while giving myself the right to feel what I was feeling? And once I started saying, you messed up right here. You could have handled that better. You could have handled that differently. So what are you going to do differently? And once I started putting my transparent, being very transparent about how I felt and what I did and what I felt I did incorrectly or whatever, I think that's what made people, especially men, gravitate towards me. And that's what made my husband, I noticed that I was saying some of these things, he was like, well, damn, what in the world? And then he started hearing me actually take some of my own advice, because I was ministering to myself in some of these videos. I really was, because I would say, well, maybe you could handle it this way. And then in my head, I'm like, oh my God, my husband's going to see this video and he's going to know I understand. So I'm like, that's a good thing. Let these men know we understand where they're coming from, because the only way they're going to open up is if somebody shows them, somebody of the opposite sex shows them that we actually get it. We get it. We just don't show we get it. So once they started seeing that, I'm like, wow, who are all these men and why are they following me? Am I really saying something that deep? But no, I wasn't. I was just making a little comment, you know, just talking common sense, just trying to get them to open up. And I figured that's what it is. They just want to know we understand. So I guess that's a long answer. But that's pretty much what I think.
I think what you say, you think it's simple, and to a degree it is, but it's a lot more meaningful to all these people, majority men who follow you, because I don't, your voice is maybe the first time they heard somebody say these things. So yeah. Simple, yet it was just hard to find. Right. So I think that's why we see a woman saying something that we never hear before that kind of mirrors what we're going through. And you're like, wow, that's nice to see. So I think that's what attracted us to you. So just keep doing that. Don't change it up. Don't change it up. You're going to get a million, 2 million, 10 million. You're going to be unstoppable soon. So we got you early before you agreed to be found. So we're getting.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm going to do my best, but I'm trying to be. Here's the thing. I never want to come off as a woman basher, because I know that first, I'm a child of God. Second, I'm a woman. So I've been in a position that a lot of these women have been in, which is why I like talking to men, because I figure once you get a man to know that you, it's all about trusting that person. If they can't trust me, if the first thing I do is say, you did this and I did that, but this is why you shouldn't have did this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to hear that. You can't tell anybody, you can't give anybody your point of view, especially if they're going through something and you have no idea what they're going through. You can't give your point of view and just that, and tell them what they did wrong and expect them to really want to listen. So you've got to let them know, look, I hear you. And if I hear you correctly, you're hurting because you feel humiliated, because you feel put down, because. And no, you shouldn't feel that way. And you should be able to talk about your feelings, and you should be able to lay it on the table without somebody calling you a crybaby. Once that's opened up and a man can feel comfortable with saying to a woman who's not in love with him, you know what I mean? Of course it means something from a woman who is in love with you, but coming from a woman that's not in love with you, that's in a long-term relationship, and you know she wants nothing from you because she shows the love she has for her man, they're willing to listen, you know what I mean? And really be open to listening. And you guys would be surprised at how much men open up and just want to just lay it on the table and accept responsibility for the things that they have done that caused the havoc in their relationship. And I even forgot what y'all asked me, because I just get so passionate about it. So y'all have to forgive me, but this ADHD thing. Mm-hmm. So go ahead. I'm gonna let y'all talk.
It's okay. It was all beautiful. It was working and flowing into it. Yeah, it makes sense. Okay. Well, kind of shifting gears just a little bit, because Harvey's the ultimate maleist. So he always wants to talk about all things man. I'm interested in your next book. So you have a book that you're working on now, Divorced 3 Times, Married Once. What inspired that? And it's such an interesting title. Like, I really can't wait to hear about this.
Well, for years, I have been trying to write this book. James and I were married in 2002. And I had started on the book back then. And for some reason, and that's because I had been divorced three times before James. And I'm thinking that this book was just about the three marriages that it failed and the different reasons why and what I went through and what I learned. And as I got deeper into the book, I got past those three marriages. But once I got to me and James, I couldn't finish it. I mean, I knew I had all these things about he was 9 years younger than me. And, you know, I had a brand new 2 month old and I had been on my own since I was, you know, 4 months pregnant with her. And I had a 14-year-old and 11-year-old. And here's this man 9 years younger than me that I've known for 3 or 4 years, but never looked at. I'm like, we're married now. Why can't I finish this book? And it wasn't until, and mind you, I had gone through when somebody cheats or does something that was, that I considered unforgivable, I was the person who would just divorce. I knew how to divorce. You fill out all my papers, get child support. I had my own place still. I had my own job. I still held my head up. Nothing got behind. You know, I was that, I'm gonna show my girls that God got us and mama got us. You know what I mean? As long as I give it to God, my priorities in order, we're gonna be okay. I didn't realize that this book, the smallest part was about all those marriages and how I was able to stand on my own 2 feet still, right? The biggest part, it wasn't even about the marriage that I was in. It was about me. Because we had, in 2000, was it 12, 13? We had went through an infidelity situation. Now, this is a man that I looked at like Superman. You know what I mean? Mistake number one, because he's just a person. But we went through that situation, and mind you, I have never stayed, never. I just never stayed. And God wanted to know. He said, look, I know you know how to divorce, keep all your stuff, raise your children, keep your good job, and go out the house and look like $100. I'm not going to say a million because, you know, people, yeah, she thinks she's all that. But I do. God says I am. So $1 million. Yeah. Well, it wasn't about that. It was about, I know what you think you're made of. I need to know what you're made of now. What do you have that's going to make you stay? Which is the hardest thing. What was the hardest thing for me to do? Staying? I'm like, wow, I can't do that. I can't stay. I cannot stay. But then I had to think, these are three daughters. And now we had our fourth that are looking at me. They know I know how to be strong. They know I know how to balance. They needed to see their mother actually be weak. They needed to see me be weak because that was the strongest thing that I could show them. They needed to see forgiveness. They needed to see what that looked like. And I was pissed, just mad, because I'm like, I'm not staying here. Da, 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 da. No, but I did. And we made it. And because we made it, the relationship, now I'm not advocating cheating to find out how strong you are, because men get killed that way, okay? But what I am saying is that I don't knock anybody for staying, because we all stay for our different reasons. No one expected me to stay. God wanted to see. He knew what I was made of. He was trying to teach me what it was made of. So that's what this journey was about in this book. All the things that I went through, how I found out, you know, how I had to talk to each kid, you know, who looked at him like he was Superman. Because I feel like I woke up that morning and he was Superman. The next morning I woke up and he wasn't. And I had to go to four different little girls. One was, well, they were the top two were teenagers, but my youngest was Jamie, she's 18 now, but she was about maybe, I don't know, do the math, 4 or 5, I don't know. But I had to go talk to her and she was daddy's girl. And I was like, you know, when your daddy did something wrong, remember when you put the fingernail polish on your sister's laptop and daddy spanked you, but then he hugged you and he loved you and he'd forgiven you. And she said, yeah, that was easy, right? So I went to my oldest, who was like, if a man doesn't treat me like James treats my mom, I don't want to be bothered. So she was crushed because she was, you know, a teenager. she was crushed. And I had to, you know, talk to her and like, listen, you've seen me be strong and you've seen this and da da da. I want to show you that it's okay to forgive. And I don't know if I'm going to stay or not. And I am crushed and I am mad and I am hurt. And I told all the emotions I was feeling, but I may stay. And if I do, I want you to know that whether I stay or not, this is still the man that has taken care of you since the day he walked into your life. And then I had to go to another daughter. You know, my second daughter and my middle daughter were just like very, very direct. The first, the oldest and the bottom one, the happy-go-lucky is easy because they're very forgiving people. The two middle ones, that they're that side of me that's like, nope, you broke the promise, I'm out. So going to that second daughter, Jasmine, was hard for me because she's the one that would come in. She came into the house when she found out what happened. She sat beside me and she didn't say a word because she knew that being sitting beside me was the thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so she held my hand, I held her hand, and that was it. I never had to say a word to her about it. But his best friend was my third daughter, and God rest her soul, she's not here anymore. She passed away when she was 16. But at the time, she was just, that was her best friend, best friend. And all I heard her do is stomp up the steps. And to talk to her was the hardest because number one, I'm broken and I've never been so hurt before. It literally felt like someone died because he was not, in my head, this man that I thought he was. But it wasn't until I sat down with Kamari and I said, Kamari, and she was like, I don't want to talk about it. I just don't, you know, and she was just, and I saw the pain in her face because this is a man that's her best friend. The only one of my four girls who like football, basketball. He took her to the barbershop. She had all this hair, just a bunch of hair. He took her and had all her hair, let her shave all this off around here. And, you know, they did that kind of stuff together. And I was going to kill both of them, but I digress. I won't go to that because I'm getting a bad mood. But this was his best friend. So me being hurt and devastated had to try to get his best friend to not give up on him. And then I knew God is doing something in this right here. This is what he was working on. He was working on me through that man, through my girls, and he used the five people closest to me to teach me something, to help me grow. And just talking to her, I'm like, look, is this still the man that came into your life when you was 2 months old and the only father you have ever known? Is this still the man that's putting your two older sisters through college on his dime? Is this still the man who has always been there for this family? That he could have cheated, left, made babies, left her with all the bills and everything. I'm not excusing what he did, but is this still the man that loved you to the end of the earth? What could she say? You know, she was young, but she understood. You know, she understood. And to me, this book is something that has helped me grow and is still helping me grow because as I'm writing it little by little, to go back through things like that, it hurts, you know, because there's a part in your mind that does not realize that this is not happening now. And when you're talking about it or writing about it, that pain has a way of coming back up. Mm-hmm. And it will interfere with your relationship current day if you allow it. But I just ask God, look, let me get it out. Let me do what it is you need me to do. Help me get through this and help me get it on paper. And he does, little by little. Do it when you get ready. Do it when you get ready. Just do it little by little. When you feel that pain, just pray about it and write on through it and pass by. And thank God. You know, way before Kamari passed away, they were over that and they were in the living room again. She's Redskins, he's Eagles, and they were like battling back and forth, and, you know. And so it really helped me to grow as a person. I mean, when I say grow as a person, you're talking about somebody that I guess you could say I'm a grudge holder because I'll leave. I can't stay and not hold. I used to have to just leave. It's easy for me to leave. How some women won't leave because it's too hard. They'd rather be with a man and be hurt versus be hurt and just leave. I'm the type that has to leave. I have to get you out of my way, out of my sight, stay away, cut off contact. But I couldn't do it this time. I had to think, look, these young women that you're raising, they're looking at you. They want to see you. They want to see you for everything that you are, not just Wonder Woman. They want to see Wonder Woman who lost the bracelets, who no longer has the lasso. They want to see who you are stripped down. And that was the first time my oldest daughter, who is now 36, that was the first time she said, I've always seen you be strong. And now I'm seeing you as being human. And that just, to me, it just, it broke my heart and it filled my heart at the same time. And it may not make sense, but it just, it made me feel so good. And it just let me know that, you know what? You made the right decision. Doing what was hard was the right decision because it benefited not just me and my marriage, but it benefited my daughters because they saw, you know what, this is strength. And it prepared us, not knowingly, for when we would lose our daughter. And that's the weirdest thing because us losing her is supposed to be in this book because that was one of the things that could tear down a marriage worse than anything. So, yeah.
I'm ready for your book. I know you're still writing it. But I'm full with it. I'm feeling it right now.
I'm glad to hear that.
And I applaud the fact that you can sit there and write that. That's going to be interesting to kind of get all those emotions on paper, but it seems like it's going to be therapeutic.
Oh, that yeah.
It'll be good for you to kind of get it out and to kind of give it to the world. So I'm ready when you're able to put that out.
I'm going to do it as soon as possible. I really am. And the strangest thing is I noticed that I've been procrastinating by, you know, doing all these other things. And, you know, God shows me through other people, look, it's time for you to stop that. There are some things you're going to have to say no to, you know, like not, for instance, doing podcast appearances, but just things that where people are trying to bring me in on things and they have all good intentions, but things that will take up so much of my time that I'm going to be way off the mission, you know? And because I've had to learn to say, no, I can't do it. I'm always, okay, great. All right, I got you. It's like, okay, God has to tell me, yeah, you're a supporter. You like to motivate people, but motivating people does not mean you have to have your hands in everything. It just does not. And the sooner you get that through your thick head, the better. And then my husband started saying it. And of course, no one likes to listen to their husband. I mean, I don't want him to be right about nothing, right? I mean, that's just being honest. I just don't. But he was. You listening? You just hear me. It got real quiet in the kitchen. I don't like him to hear me say that too many times, but it's right. You know, sometimes you just gotta say no and you just gotta stay on mission.
Very true.
So with what you talk about, let's go back to social media. So what you talk about on social media, obviously a large part of your fan base is men who like hearing what you talk about. I would imagine you get some women who probably aren't happy to hear about what you have to say. Could you tell us about a few, you know, I'm sure you get some ridiculous comments, DMs and whatever.
Oh my goodness.
Tell us about what you get from some unhappy women.
What I do is I do get quite a few comments, but what I've learned to do, instead of addressing every single comment, because some women can be vicious, especially when they don't really know your intent and they don't know what you're about. And I realize that when you put yourself out there, it is what it is, right? But for instance, this is a mild one. So a young lady, she thought that I was trying to tell her regardless. Well, her boyfriend or her fiance had sent her one of my videos. And basically it was saying, you know, let him come in the house and can he kiss his babies? can he sit down? Can the man have a glass of water before you go in and get your shoes out the damn floor? You know what I mean? Just come on now. Like, you had a hard day. You don't know how his day was. You didn't even ask how your day was. You gave him a little petty kiss and you thought that was enough. And just, so she thought, I'm saying, well, what, I'm just ignore the fact that these are his kids and he left his shoes in the floor. And, you know, I'm like, baby, listen, this is not what I'm saying. She even reported a couple of my videos saying that it was bullying. I'm like, wait, what?
That's a stretch.
What? And I mean, of course, I mean, I did the appeal. It was back up in like 3 minutes. I'm like, 3 minutes, really? Oh, okay. Is it that easy? But women will do things like that. And but I'm noticing it's been done a lot less. Some women have even did a stitch. And you know how they can, you can misrepresent what a person says. Yeah. Well, it's because I said, ladies, when a man cheats on you, and then they stopped it. And then they went in, what do you mean? Man cheats on you and da, da, da. I'm like, oh my God. So you just have to turn off the stitch. You know what I mean? So I just turned stitch off. I'm like, look, if you're gonna misrepresent something, you're gonna do it and they're gonna hear the whole video or they're not gonna hear anything at all. You know what I mean? But some women, they were getting ridiculous, but I have noticed, I figure, you know what? What is it that women really want from another woman? And I thought, you know what? Beauty shouldn't be a secret. And I get sick of asking women, you know, what do you do for this? And what do you, and they, and listen to them hide things from each other. I did one video, it went viral. Women love me, you know, for the most part, the ones that follow me love me. But that got them to listen to other videos. And now they see, oh, she's not breaking us down. She's trying to help us. And so I started talking to women who ask questions, but I would answer the question in a video. And many times I don't put their name out there. I don't say their name because that's not what I want to do. I don't want to embarrass you, but I want to give, if you want me to give you the real, I'm going to give you the real, like Kimmy's going to give you the real, but I'm not going to try to break you down, tear you down. I want you to see where you could do things differently. So maybe this man will open up and listen to you. Maybe something in here. It ain't, I said, sister, it ain't about his ears. It ain't about his ears. It's about what's on his heart. It's about what he's been through in his last relationships, or what he's been through with you, or what his mother took him through, or what some woman in his life did to break him down. And you took, something you did nudge that. It's like a PTSD effect. Something you did nudge that, and that's why you can't get through to him, because you doing this and you're not listening. You're just not listening. So women can be hard of hearing sometimes. Some women, not all women, because, you know, queens, I'm girl first. But there are a few that they just, because of what they're going through, they don't want to hear it. And I'm like, who cares? If you don't want to hear it, it's not for you, baby. It's just, here I go with the baby again. But it's just not for you. And I always invite women, look, come on and listen. And if your man sent you a video, come on and listen. Because I don't want him. I got mine. You know what I mean? And I'm never going to tell a woman to leave their man either. I just want them to realize that, look, there are things that we can do to get a man to open his heart and to open his mind and to listen to us. I don't care what he's been through. There are things that you can do. You have the power of persuasion. And I'm not talking about just that old stuff going on your body. I'm talking about right here. The power of persuasion is here. If we allow this to speak from a godly place, from a place of love and compassion, a man will listen to anything you have to tell him. But you got to come with that tone. Not saying you got to bury your feelings, but you got to come with a better tone than you've been coming from. You know, maybe we got the right to be mad about some things, but it's always a better way to present it. That's all I try to get them to see. And if they don't see it, they just don't. I mean, you know, you can't help everybody. You just can't.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. Facts. Yeah.
And I'm just wishing that some of these women would, well, listen, I always try to tell people in my videos that, look, you can keep doing the same thing you've been doing over and over and over again. And you can think because you're hanging in there, or you're hanging tough with him, and you're just hoping one of these days you're going to say that same thing and he's going to give you a different reaction and he's going to move a different way. You can keep doing that and you can waste the best years of your life, because there's going to be somebody that comes along and he may not even be interested in that person. But she's going to say something in a tone. She's going to say the same thing you said, but she's going to say it in a different tone, in a different atmosphere. And he's going to be attracted to that. And it can be somebody that's not even his type. And he's going to be attracted to that. And who knows where that's going to go? Because as soon as he hears this positive vibe and he comes home and he gets the same negative one for you, what do you think that's doing? Little by little, you're losing him more and more and more. And always reminding them that I'm not trying to minimize a woman's pain, because I know there's some trifling men out here that's taking women through some crazy madness. I know that. I have been in their shoes. But at the same time, if you're going to deal with the crazy madness and you want the crazy madness to go a different way, you're going to have to make some changes. Whether he was right or wrong, whether you're right or wrong, sometimes you have to take the lead. And I'm not saying that in a sense where you're the head of the household or whatever, but as women, sometimes we have to learn to take the lead, because we're like rubber bands. We can take until we snap. Men kind of, we're going to take a little bit and then break. You know what I mean? Not saying they're weak, but it's just that they have not, in my opinion, taken as much as we take as women. You feel me? I mean, a woman can get cheated on once or twice, forgive them. But a man, a lot of men, they out. Because that in their mind, for instance, I told a young man, listen, if you can stand a man, I said, picture this, think about it. If you think you can stomach another man wearing your robe and your slippers, burping your baby, and doing everything you're doing to that woman, if you can picture him doing it, you keep on treating her like you treat him. This young man, I thought, was going to faint, because you could see that everything I said was in his head, and he thought about what he does to that woman. And that's the part that pissed them off. That's the part that made him, you know, it burping the baby and all that stuff. That was fine. Wearing his robe and his slippers. But him, another man doing what he do to her. When I tell y'all, that baby looked like he was gonna faint. So it's basically how you put things to people. You know, sometimes you got to use certain examples. And with women, same thing. If you can stand another woman, if you can think you could stomach another woman, wearing your robe and your slippers, doing your daughter's hair, taking your little boy to practice, and doing what you do to your man, keep on treating him like you treat him. It can happen.
Okay, I like it. Up to a certain point, it sounded kind of good. Like somebody else gonna do their hair.
right, exactly.
This sounded like a good situation. I might want to sign up for that. And then she got deeper, and I was like, "No,
they did it 3 times a week. I have less to do."
Only a woman would think of it like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mm-hmm. This woman. Yeah, that's what she would do.
Oh my God! Okay.
Sorry.
Don't be sorry. Shoot, I'm the same thing. Well, dang. I have 4 girls, so you know I'm thinking it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. For the hair alone. I'm like, okay, you want to find somebody, as long as they can braid hair, you know.
Exactly.
You'd be willing to give up a few things if somebody come take care of that hair?
Yeah, one night a week.
You can have him on Tuesday.
I'll go watch a movie or something.
It's terrible. That's terrible.
Give me some me time.
Yes.
So Kibi, tell us, so, I mean, obviously your popularity has exploded on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Do you have plans or like new things you're going to do, new questions, new things to do on TikTok to kind of keep growing your fan base? What are you planning on doing?
Yeah, well, you know, it seems like, okay, so I call James my secret weapon, because whenever I, when I'm not feeling like being serious or talking about a serious subject, I'm like, James, let's do this. So we did that. I don't know if you saw the one that went viral when I had on the onesies. And I was like, he's like, what are you doing with those onesies? I said, I don't know. Just go with it. Just go with it. So I had about 8 pairs of onesies and I took them downstairs and I said, where's Jamie? I wanted to make sure she wasn't coming home from work or anything. And he's like, she's gone. And I took about 3 or 4 t-shirts. He had on basically the same basketball shorts. And I took them downstairs in the living room and I was like, you know what? Let's do what we always do. I'm always jumping on you and we're always laying hugged up. I'm acting like, you know, you're my big bear or whatever. I just want to show women that men like to cuddle too. Let's just show them, because a lot of men won't say, yeah, I want to cuddle. Yeah, I'm a cuddle. You know, and James is not going to say, babe, come on, let's cuddle. You know what I mean? He just won't. He's big and he just thinks he just really want to cuddle though, right? So I do stuff like that. I just figure, what did you say, Jen? I'm sorry, let me get back to this. My kid, I swear to God, she's in there telling James, you know you want to cuddle daddy. But so we just, you know, I said, okay, and I jumped on them and just do the run and jump. And I like doing stuff like that because, well, when I didn't realize it was going to do what it did. I had no idea it was going to do that. It went viral and it's all on Instagram and people at the gym are saying, hey, James, you're viral. You know, and he's like, what? And the man is all over the place and people, hey, James Reed, hi. He's like, hey, how you doing? So he's thinking we know him. I'm like, don't say, hey, what's up? You don't act like you know him because you don't. That's somebody from TikTok or whatever. But I like doing stuff like that. James and I used to do seminars and like little speaking gigs and stuff where we did relationship motivation. We would talk about, you know, what we went through and everything. So we're involved in a podcast called People to People. And I'm doing like a guest co-host spot. And we do it every Monday. It's called Motivation Monday. So I'm trying to do some stuff with them. I did a few episodes and I'm going to do a few more. It's Rodney Grimes on YouTube, if y'all ever want to check it out. But it's a really motivational podcast. And I think I've done, 3 of them. And I kind of like it. So, you know, my husband says, well, you like to talk. So, hey, go right ahead. You know, so I did that. And I want to get this book out. And I want to do more things with my husband because I realize that even though a lot of men have been asking me to do like Zoom counseling and Zoom groups and relationship facilitation groups and stuff, and I like the relationship rap sessions that I have, I really want to do more that involves him, because we did one time before. We did a seminar where I was a speaker and I pulled my husband on stage because I realized at that moment, I'm telling this story about this man who came into my life and he took on me and 3 kids and, you know, and then we had our little one and how all these things were great. And then I realized as I told them about the infidelity, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. And there were almost 300 people there. Everybody was crying. Men were crying because they were like, basically, it's like you build somebody up just to break them down. And not that that was my intent, that was just my story, you know? And for them to start asking questions, and I allowed them, like a lady was like, what made you do that? What made him do that? And I'm like, you know what? You can ask him. And they were shocked. He was too. But he came on stage and, you know, nobody clapped at first. but what really made me realize, I guess God was, you know, working that situation. He had to be, because he got on stage and he said things that he had only said to me, but he said them in front of everybody, that this was not about what his wife was doing or wasn't doing. This was more about him and his growth. And he never wanted to make me feel like it was my fault. And he said, and I can tell y'all, she didn't take responsibility for something I did, you know, and they could tell that by things I had said before. I'm like, no, mm-mm. No, because I was going through some things too, and I could have did the same thing, but I did not. And I'm not going to allow you to say, oh, because a man can't be fake. I'll be damned. Excuse my language. But yes, you can. If I can, you can too. You know, you have the same capacity to do the right thing as you do to have the wrong thing, just like I do. So no excuses. But he really, really made a super big impact by taking responsibility for his actions, for saying that this is something that he never wants to do again, because hurting me and his was not just hurting me. It was hurting our daughters. And that's when he realized, this is something I never want my daughters to experience. So why put their mother through something like that? And they needed to see a man take responsibility for his actions. When I tell y'all this, he said a lot of other things, but this seminar, people were lining up. When it was over, we ran out of books. I wrote a book in 3 weeks just to do it. It's called Marriage is Easy, Marriage is Easy, People Are Hard. And no, I shouldn't have put that book together myself, but I did. But I'm not going to take away the message by saying the cover is stupid and all that stuff, because it is stupid. But it ran out, and people were standing in line to ask us question after question after question after question. Pastors were in line praying over us and just saying, this is going to happen, you know, prophesying over us. That is the type of thing that I want to continue to do, because when you can touch somebody with something that hurt you so deeply, it's almost worth it to relive that pain, in a sense. And I notice that every time I do it, yes, it hurts a little bit, but it hurts a lot less every time. And I know that's nothing but God saying, if you follow me, I got you, you know? If you do what I'm telling you to do, I got this. One of these days, you're going to talk about it, and it's not going to bother you at all, at all. So the next phase of this is our daughter passing, and how one of those things can destroy. I mean, that thing right there, having a baby pass, is worse than infidelity. That is the number one thing that breaks up a marriage, period. It will destroy. But the devil is a liar, because if my baby is gone, there is something God wants to get out of me. If he took a child that was not sick, and we don't know why she passed away, we don't know why her throat, if that happened, and we have no, the medical examiner can't even tell us why, if that happened, God wants something, not just out of me. I'm responsible for what he wants out of me, but he wants something out of everybody in our family and everybody in our circle. And he's going to get it from me. He's going to get it from me. What the enemy won't get is my marriage. If he didn't get it from the infidelity, he's not going to get it from losing our baby. It's just not going to happen. If this marriage breaks up, it's going to be because I did something to the man and he's gone. Like gone. or you know, he already said he's not going nowhere. But anyway, are you going anywhere? What? Y'all hear that?
He's gone.
Say it louder. Say it louder.
I ain't going nowhere.
Y'all hear?
we heard him. You got a good man. Kimmy, we could talk to you forever, but I think just this little bit of a conversation just shows how amazing you are.
Yeah.
So how can our listeners find you? Where can they find you? Give us your social media tags so people can find you.
Okay, so I have a relationship. It's called the Relationship Motivator Group on Facebook. Facebook says they miss me, and I've been so involved in TikTok, so I just haven't been on the group page, but I'm going back. And that is the Relationship Motivator. And then on my regular Facebook page is Kimmy Kim Evans Reed. But I have the TikTok is at Kimmy Reed. That's the number one for right now. And on IG, I'm at Kimberly L. Reed Relationship. So it's KIMBERLEY, the middle initial LREED Relationship. There's my man.
Hey, hey, hey.
How you doing?
Y'all see how I got real goofy? I got goofy.
How y'all doing?
Chilling. How are you, sir?
I'm okay. I'm okay.
Move over there.
Welcome to the Love is Black podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You guys are doing, isn't he big and cool?
You guys are doing a wonderful job. I've been listening in the other room with my daughter, so I appreciate it.
That's good to hear.
This is her thing. I like to step back and let her shine. So I just come in, you know, if needed. But
you want something. What do you want? What
do you want? Like a good man should. You doing it right, sir. You doing it right. Yeah. You have a star in the making. So
we're totally blessed to have Kimmy on, and this has been fantastic.
It has been, definitely.
Well, we appreciate y'all. I really do. I was excited. I'm glad we finally, after all the dates and everything. I know my schedule is crazy, and I know y'all.
Exactly. We know how busy you are. You know, family life is hectic. You got business. Mm-hmm. You got super cool husband. You got all this stuff going on. You got to make sure you take care of everything. And you know, we slid in when we fit in, and we'll take it.
Right. we appreciate it, but I try to let her excel in her purpose. This is what she loves to do, and so I think it's my duty to just support her and give advice. I'm the type of person, I'm in the background, so I'm not going to let anybody take advantage of her. And I give her, you know, harsh criticism when she needs it, give her support, give her, pump her up when she needs it, and just be there for whatever she needs. So
even though I'm rolling my eyes.
But I'm not one of those men who is afraid to let the woman, you know, shine, you know, because if she shines, I still shine. So I'm good.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yes.
Exactly. That's it. I feel you. Good job, sir. Good job.
I love it.
You was here for 2 minutes,
Black
and
love.
You hit hard. We appreciate that.
I told y'all that's my secret weapon.
It's only a matter of time before you get your own TikTok page, sir. You better keep it.
Look, he does, right? He does, but he doesn't really want to put out any content. But that's why I try to work him in mind. Mm. And so what I'm doing is I'm trying to think of a name for another one, and that way he'll be in. You know, all we'll have one as the couple.
Okay.
Because I don't want all these women going after my man.
I'm more of a laid back person, so I can't really think of like the stunts and all that stuff to do. So I just like to watch, and you know, I'll comment
and catch
on
me when I jump.
Yeah, stuff like that. So you know,
I like that. You're gonna be the spinoff. I like that.
Right.
I'm ready to watch that show too.
So yeah, that's right.
Well, thank you both. Thank you for your time. Yes. We appreciate it. And I'm
going to. Where are you guys located?
What'd you say?
Where are you located? Florida.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah?
You can see me sweating. It's hot. That's what it is. It's hot all the time.
Oh, he sweats even when it's not hot. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, it's fall up in this area. So. The weather's definitely changing, so.
Oh yeah, we're in the DMV.
I'd take the fall right now, man. Give me like 70 degrees with a breeze, I'd be content. But
like, it's sort of like that here now.
Yeah, it's been raining the last couple of days, but believe in about 2 or 3 weeks, it'd be like 40 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, 40 degrees sounds great. So. 40 degrees? What?
All right, happy Laguerre.
All right, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Yes.
And
I think we have definitely come to the conclusion that love is motivating.
Love is motivating. I like that word.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Love is many things.
But this good love is Black.
Thanks for listening to the Love is Black podcast.
Please help support the podcast by subscribing and leaving a review.
And connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Love is Black Podcast.
See you next week.